Father, we ask that you come now in the abundant power of your Holy Spirit, that you sweep through this building, changing every heart and mind, that our eyes would be opened, that we would see Jesus, our ears opened, that we would hear Jesus, and our hearts opened, that we would receive Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning in our both our readings, there's a strong emphasis on the resurrection. And that's rightly so, because as I said earlier in our service, we're still in the season of Easter, and we are right up until Pentecost and Ascension and then into Trinity. But we are, and you've heard me say this so many times, we are people of the resurrection. We meet on a Sunday because we celebrate and commemorate and remember our Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead on the first day of the week, which is a Sunday. We are people of the resurrection. And so we should, in our worship and in all that we do, show that and let it be echoed and mirrored in our lives. But yet, so often, it's hard to do that. As a child, I remember learning at school that little song. I'm sure you all learned it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. A well-known bishop in the Church of Ireland who has preached here many times once said at a youth event, if you're happy and you know it, tell your face. As Christians, even though the world might be throwing everything that it has at us, even though there are times whenever we're finding it extremely difficult to be joyful, we should always remember that we have the hope of the resurrection within us. As I was reading our second reading earlier on, John chapter 20, verse 19 to the end of the chapter, there was something struck me today that actually I haven't thought an awful lot about. And I want us to dwell a little bit on that. I'm changing what I had planned to say this morning. And I want you, if you've got a Bible near you or if there's a blue book near you, to open it up at John chapter 20. And let's look at this together. So we see what Jesus says. These are the words of Jesus. It's not the words of John, the narrator. It's not the words of the disciples who later would become apostles. It's actually the words of Jesus. In verse 21 on, we see that Jesus again said, "Peace be with you." Now, those are extremely important words, and the words which we as Christians should be sharing with each other continually. I have this image in my mind of Jesus walking into that room where the disciples are all gathered and him saying to them in their native tongue, shalom. You'll all know that word, shalom, which means peace. It was how they greeted each other, but this was a different type of greeting. It wasn't just, hello, how are you, what about you, are you doing all right, top of the morning to you, and all that sort of stuff. It was more than that. It was words of comfort, it was words of hope, it was words of peace. Peace be with you. In other words, may you know the stillness and the quietness of the Lord Jesus Christ in your bodies, hearts, minds, and souls. May you have, as the psalmist writes, be still and know that I am God. That's what Jesus is declaring here as he stands among them. But he's also saying to them, don't worry about it. It's all right. You can see me. I'm not dead. I'm very much alive. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And I know you're saying there, but Mark, there's nothing new in this. You've talked about this before. And yes, I have. But this is a commission for each and every one of us, not just for those of us who wear these funny shaped collars. Every single one of us has a duty to perform. What struck me this morning was actually the next verse. What is that duty? What is the duty for you and for me? In Mark's gospel, he very clearly tells us to go into all the world and preach the good news. In this passage, Jesus actually tells us how to do it. He gives us the manual. He says in verse 23, the end of 22, he breathes on them, and then he says, receive the Holy Spirit. This is the manual. Verse 23, this is what we must do. He says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, there's a priestly role here. For those of us who are ordained to the priesthood or as presbyter in the church, you'll hear that we continually pronounce the absolution in services of worship. We've done it already this morning. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. It's me saying to you, you know, if you genuinely repent of your sins, if you're genuinely sorry before the Lord, then the Lord will forgive you. And some people just need to hear that. And within the ministry of healing, it's something that I encounter time and time again. People struggle with this forgiveness that God offers. And they think, how can I be forgiven because of the things that I have done? And sometimes, in that priestly role, they just need to hear someone say, you know what? You are forgiven. Now put it to bed. But in this manual, in verse 23, Jesus actually lays the responsibility at each of our own doors. In the Thursday of Holy Week here in church, we are reminded of the washing of the feet. And for those of you that are here on that evening, you'll know that over the last number of years, that there's been the opportunity to do a bit of washing. And the washing hasn't been to go to someone's feet, but it has been to actually just do a very simple act, and it's been to come to the front and lift the baby wipe and go and wash somebody's hands. And it's a signal that you're saying to that person, do you know what, I love you in Christ. And it's also a way of saying to someone that you may have wronged, do you know what, actually, I'm sorry I've done that. Or if someone has wronged you, it's an opportunity to go and say to them, do you know what, I forgive you for doing that. And I know that I've preached before in the past, the sermon where we've looked at, if we don't forget, are we truly forgiving? You know that old saying, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. There are some things it's just impossible to forget. But Jesus says, if you don't forgive, then they're not forgiven. And that's the bit that struck me more than anything this morning. It's not even so much that if you do forgive, they are forgiven. It's more the second part. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And I think that is a two-way thing. Because how do you feel whenever you know that someone hasn't forgiven you for a wrong? I know that it eats me up. I know it does. Personally testify to it. And on one of the committees I sit on the church, and I'm not going to go into detail about it, but I will ask you to pray for that. I'm dealing with this at the moment, where two people are finding it extremely difficult to forgive each other. And it's all over a lack of communication, really. We need to offer the forgiveness, but we also need to receive it. Because if we don't, it not only eats the other person up, but it eats us up. And I know that some people will say, do you know what, I don't care if you don't forgive me. Or to put it in modern day language, stuff ye. But that's not what being a Christian is about. That's not what being people of peace, people of the resurrection is about. Being people of the resurrection means not only to be, not only to forgive, but also to be forgiven. That's what it's about. And that's what struck me this morning. I wonder, are there people in church this morning that actually need to do a bit of forgiving? Is there someone who, right this moment, or as I've been speaking, they're in your mind, and you've thought, you know, I need to go and talk to that person. Or I need to go and put that wrong right. Well, do it. Don't just think about it. Actually, do it. Because that's the Jesus model. And do you know what? If you go to them and you say, I forgive you, then they're forgiven. You've forgiven them. They are forgiven. But if you don't forgive them, then it eats a big, big hole within you. And it eats a hole that only Christ can fill. Only His peace, His shalom can fill. Jesus breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. All of this forgiveness stuff is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it on my own. I can only do it by the grace of God and by the power that He gives me through His Holy Spirit. And what Jesus is saying here is, you need to fully rely on God. You can't rely on yourself because you'll never master it. You need to fully go in the power of God. He didn't say to them, go and forgive and then I'll give you the Holy Spirit. He said, receive the Holy Spirit and I go and do it. We need to get our priorities right and need to get our things in order. We need to get all our ducks in a row or whatever metaphor you want to put on it. But we need to do it nonetheless. Because Jesus offers the same thing to you and to me that He offered to the disciples. He said to them, I want to give you my peace. He also says, I want to give you my Spirit. But I want you to go and do likewise. Go and work for it. All this is only possible by being in a relationship with the resurrected Christ. By trusting in His death. By believing in the power of His resurrection. I had planned this morning to look at, once again at Thomas. And to try and draw more out of dealing with doubt. Thinking about what Thomas had said and how Jesus responded to Thomas. Jesus could have so easily said, you know what, if he doesn't want to believe, let him. But he didn't. Jesus went to him, stood in front of him, and he said, Thomas, stop doubting. Just believe. See my hands. See my side. I know that when we go and offer forgiveness to someone, or we ask someone for forgiveness, or whatever it is that's been in your mind as I was chatting, there is an element of doubt in all that. Because we'll walk away, and the cynics in us, the skeptics in us, and I would be among that group as well, would walk away and say, well, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Time will tell. We'll just have to wait and see. Perhaps it's maybe time to set that aside. Stop doubting and just believe. As one politician said recently about another, it's really not how you start that matters, but it's how you finish. Folks, it's not how we start that matters, but it's how we finish. Thomas ended well, because his response after all that was to get before the Lord and say, my Lord and my God. Thomas ended well. History shows us that Thomas ended well. Will history show that you and I end well? Stop doubting and just believe. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to say no more. Just think about what we've been looking at and this whole topic of forgiveness. And it's very difficult. I know it's very difficult. And there are things which is extremely hard to offer that forgiveness or to even receive it from someone. But you know, if the Lord has shown you someone in your mind this morning, if a name or a picture of a face or someone has been rolling through your mind that you know you've wronged, then ask the Lord now to give you the grace to put it right. And if that person is in church this morning, then do it before you go home, after the service has ended. And if they're not in church, but a phone call could do it, or whatever, do it. Put it right. And grab that peace of mind that Jesus offers. Because he says to every single one of us, peace be with you, shalom. And he wants to speak it right into your heart. Just hold that person out before the Lord, or hold yourself out before him and ask him for his grace and for his spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your death and for your resurrection. We thank you for the hope and the joy that comes from that in believing. We thank you for the peace that you offer and for how that it fills our hearts, it transcends our minds. Father, breathe it fully into our lives. And may each of us have peace of heart, body, mind, and soul. And may each of us offer forgiveness, but also receive it. So that none who we come in contact with won't be forgiven, but will actually receive everything from us and from you. For we pray this in your name and for your sake. Amen.